The Crash Course Podcast is brought to you in part by DerbyParts.com, the 2015 Bash for Cash and Smash It Demolition Derby, Bull Lockwood Motorsports, and the 2015 Keystone National, Sciopa Racing and SciopaRacing.com, and Derby Inc. Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Inc. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon. We're not ready for Ryan Ostrander yet. We're going to be getting to him a few minutes. Ryan Ostrander is going to be joining us. It's a good show tonight. Lucas Coffey going to be on the air with us as well. We're going to be catching up with Pete Hansen after he gave Ryan Sangaluski a big birthday present over the weekend. We're going to be talking with him and see what happened in the last week to help him change his mind about running Blizzard Bash again with Ryan Sangaluski, Jason Brodzinski, and Daryl Monroe. Brian Tomkus is joining us here in studio, anxiously awaiting a chance on the microphone.
I've been going to ask you.
Yes.
And I kept forgetting, but I heard the noise. Was that you that said, oh, God, when the car got the roof ripped off at Penn Yan?
I can neither confirm nor deny that. That absolutely was. I was scared to death.
Because I when I got the DVD from you, I took it home and watched it, and that's one of the things I heard. And then I keep hearing it on here, and I've been meaning to ask you.
Yeah,
that's the first time you've ever made a sound on one of your videos.
I usually am pretty quiet, and that is about as gut reaction as you're going to get.
Yeah.
That was.
Yeah, I figured that since it was clear, it probably was probably you close to the camera. But
I was about two steps away from the camera to the left when that was all happening because I wanted to see around. I was trying to see around Steve Travis so that I could make sure that we were in the right place. And just as I took the step to the side is when
that happened.
When Tracy came up over the top of Scott Kiefer's car. And, I mean, I was scared to death. I mean, we've got cameras all over the place. There's actually a camera on the roof of Scott Kiefer's car.
Yep.
Facing forward. So all of a sudden you hear a bunch of sound and fury and then a bunch of twisting sheet metal. And then all of a sudden you're looking right into the stacks.
Yep.
Over the hood. And the camera never missed a beat. But it was a scary, scary situation. And, yes, that is absolutely my 9-year-old girl response to that, that action.
If the camera would have been the other way around.
Oh, yeah. That'll win an SP.
I had a camera on Justin Gilmartin's car when it was either Chuck Chapman smoked him in the left rear corner at Penn Yan, and it
shifted the whole roof.
Yeah, it buckled the roof down and it put the rear wheel like up on the C pillar.
Yeah,
that was a pretty crazy shot too, but it wasn't. I mean, it really nothing compares to that shot that we got at Penn Yan. And I've debated all over the country via Facebook the logic behind that that shot and the rules that they use down there about the roof bar. And there's a lot of different could-bes and scenarios where that aren't necessarily the be-all, end-all to have a halo bar to prevent that from happening. If it's fixed solid, that metal has no place to go, and it could potentially crush them. The nose of that Cordoba was already starting to go. If it's a hard and fast halo bar, the nose could drop, and it would put the front wheel of that Cordoba right on his shoulder or right in the middle of his spine. Or if that halo bar isn't put in well, it could be a mousetrap and fall right over forwards and crush him against the steering wheel. And all those scenarios, I think, you know, Ben, you've been around derbies for a little while. I think all those are certainly plausible.
Oh, for sure, because there's a lot of people that think they have great, you know, great fabrication skills, and I've told people to cut them out before because they're unsafe, and it's there's a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of variables that would have been involved with that, and that's where a benefit of a rear window bar and tied into the halo bar, you know, it's shoulda, coulda, wouldas, but I mean, it's just one of them freaky situations that
absolutely
that you know, you might not ever see it again, you might see it.
I hope I never see it again.
You might see cars getting rolled up on like that, you know, a few times this year. You never know. I mean,
that's the thing. I mean, with him being up in the air like he was and then the way that back, I mean, there was a combination. It's like the movie, you know, from when we were all younger, Final Destination, where there's all the things lead up to one thing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's just one of them freaky things.
It was something that I really don't want to have to go through again.
No.
I don't want to see that. It was awful, and we actually, Scott was on with us
Ontario
when we
County.
Were at, we were live at the Ontario County Fair last year, and Scott was on and talked pretty candidly, really about it, and he said that he felt that himself, he felt that if he had a Halo bar, it would have completely changed for the worse the outcome of what that was. And he wasn't – you'll see his reaction as he sort of turns in the car. It wasn't the weight of the car pressing him down. What he thought was when he turned, he put both hands on the wheel of the car thinking that the Cordoba had backed up on him and not driven on him, and he was afraid. His biggest fear was having the skin of his shoulder launched onto the hood when the guy stood on the gas to drive off of him. Yeah. And that was, you know, which was cool. And you alluded to the fact that the taillight had folded funny, and the front end was up on the block, and the back end was sucked down real low. And we were fortunate that the right front tire, that Cordoba, did get sucked over on the quarter panel and pulled it off to the right the way
just
that it
enough,
did.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where, you know what, when your number's not up, your number's not up.
No. Absolutely.
Simple as that. Joining us on the Derby Parts Hotline, Ryan Ostrander, Catskill Fabrication Performance. Ryan, I talked with Josh Decker a little bit, and he said you'd be one of the guys that we should talk to about getting on the show because you're going to be moving up into some of the bigger venues this year with Catskill Fabrication Performance. We're going to see, I believe, at a couple Bo Lockwood shows and also at the Kings of Old School this summer.
That's correct. Definitely be at the Kings of Old School, working on... hopefully getting into Keystone Nationals and maybe a couple of the Reckless Warrior shows, and go from there.
So, Ryan, for guys that don't know out there, what do you guys build in your shop?
mostly sheet metal stuff right now, stainless, aluminum, steel fuel tanks, training coolers, working on some new stuff, got some LS oil pans and steel oil pans. Some watch link conversions, working on some of that, still getting them so they're nice before I put them out for sale.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Working on some new stuff, working on getting some new equipment this fall to get into maybe getting into the cradle stuff and whatnot.
Cool.
Started on some of the Mopar stuff. There don't seem to be too many people building much for them right now. I've been getting a lot of people asking us. I'd be interested in building stuff, so I started out with some distributor protectors and kind of go from there.
Yeah,
that's definitely, and obviously, you know, we're biased because we're all Mopar guys, but there's really not a lot of stuff built specifically for Mopars.
No. I mean, he does real high quality work.
He's got some nice, real nice stuff.
Ryan, tell us a little bit more about how you got started, where you're located, things like that, if anybody wants to find out more about Catskill.
Located in Unadilla, it's a 3,000 square foot shop. We got off my dad's farm, dairy farm.
It's a 3,000 square foot town.
Well, I don't get privilege using the whole thing right now. I'm growing piece by piece, taking over the shop a little bit more as I get the opportunity. Mm-hmm. But kind of fell in my lap. All the stuff I have my background's hot rod stuff. Started up in the Utica area, working at some high-end hot rod shops, and still do that to this day. But some Delaware County guys kind of last year asked me if I would be interested in building some stuff for them, and once the word spread that somebody local was building stuff, it kind of took off from there.
Good.
Yeah, it's nice to have a local, reliable person to build stuff.
Absolutely. That comes in handy.
Yeah.
It helps a lot. And you're saying that response has been remarkable so far.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I've been stuff all the way, a lot of stuff in the Midwest, a lot of sales on stuff out there, Minnesota and all over the Midwest. I got a few guys that be running some stainless tanks and stuff for in Bash for Cash in the 80s and newer class. And pretty good word. I mean, all over, all the way down Virginia, Texas, stuff's been going all over the place.
Good for you. That's awesome.
Virginia and Texas. Did you think that it was going to have that wide of a reach when you started going with it?
No. Last summer, I guess about this time last year, I started just a few tanks, and I said, oh, that's not very hard to build, and got looking at different stuff, I guess my own worst enemy, I started taking off from there and getting more ideas. Actually, Josh Buell, I was talking to him, and he said, told him I didn't want to get very big at it, and he keeps reminding me of that every time. I said, well, this is pretty cool. I could do this or do that and start making this. And just kind of it doesn't take long to really get going with it, I guess.
We got the Brown brothers in Minnesota are being cute with their photoshopping again. we gotta talk a little bit about them here when we wrap up with Ryan. We got Lucas Coffee coming up here in a few minutes as well. Ryan was a little shy about coming on. He has so many orders that he wants to get to that he doesn't want to take time away from working on them to come on the show. But you know, given that he was coming up at the Kings of Old School and stuff, I thought it would be a good move to get him on, talk a little bit about it. It's one of the guys you can find, one of the vendors that's going to be there. Quality stuff, right here out of New York.
Just got a text from Jason Sherman. He said he's bought some of Ryan's stuff. Great communication, fast turnaround. Very happy with the stuff.
Cool.
You had some of your stuff at the banquet too, right,
yeah.
Ryan?
Yeah. I tried to get there in the morning. It was all loaded up, and we had some stuff on the farm that kind of it took priority, so I didn't get down there until late. But Brett and the guys down there were really good and let me set up in the lobby for a little bit, and they had a huge response. A lot of people were really happy with what they saw, and moved a few pieces of product there, and then afterwards. Got a lot of messages, a lot of calls, and moved quite a bit of product from it. It was a really good deal for me.
Cool.
This neck of the woods is getting busier and busier and busier when you figure Catskills staying busy.
Mm-hmm.
You've got R&R still out there. There's a bunch of Shade Tree guys that are building stuff for their buddies.
Yep.
And then you've got Ben Host. Then and I haven't heard a whole lot out of that camp lately, but I haven't formally heard that Tough Stuff is closed either.
But every now and then you'll see a picture of him. Yeah. I think he got overwhelmed and he's trying to get caught up, but
which, you know, gotta do that.
Absolutely.
Nose to the grindstone and keep things going. But Ryan reached out, we talked to them a little bit, and
Very cool
dude. I'm looking forward to getting a chance to catch up with you again at Kings of Old School. And we're going to be there live. Hopefully you got somebody that can watch the booth for a little bit. You come and hang out with us for a few minutes on the air.
Absolutely.
Any place where people can jump online and find out more about you?
Right now, Catskill Fabrication Performance is a Facebook page. And PM me for any questions or prices or whatever. I'm working on a webpage. Hopefully this fall, mm-hmm. But as of right now, just the Facebook page.
It's the way to go. I mean, social media is free and it's accessible.
Yep. Absolutely.
That's been a huge support, not only for me, but I'm sure everybody in this industry.
It has helped spread a lot of the word about the crash course, I'll say that.
Yeah, there's definitely got some stuff out there for us.
Excellent. Well, Ryan, I know you got gobs of stuff that you got to get working on. I don't want to keep you, but I appreciate you taking some time out of tonight. I told you we'd try and keep it quick. If there's anybody else that you want to mention or thank that helps keep Catskill on his feet, man, go for it.
My old man's in the barn milking cows right now, but I got to thank him because he helps me out a lot. And I thank all the local Tri-County guys that have really stood behind me and put the word out and had faith in getting things started. So. Pretty much thanks for everybody that's had my back so far. So
Ryan, I just got one more quick question for you. You still work on the hot rod stuff, you build derby stuff, and you work on the dairy farm?
And I have a full-time job, 10-hour day job.
So I guess sleep isn't real important. Good for you, buddy. That's good to hear.
I figure I'll get plenty of that when they leave me to rest for the last time.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That's great.
Got to be dedicated.
Or crazy, whichever it happens to be.
And young.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of sitting in front of the TV, I guess. I probably should, but I'd rather build stuff, I guess. So.
That's cool.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Yep. Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks, man. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right.
Quick introduction to Ryan Ostrander at Catskill Fabrication and Performance, and he's got tons of stuff coming down the line, tons of stuff on the table, but... I chatted with him quick about the upcoming Kings of Old School stuff and looking to get into Keystone National and some of the Reckless Warrior shows. He said, I'll try to do it, but I really don't want to take too long because I got customers to take care of. That's customer
pretty cool.
Service. Yeah.
That's really cool. Very cool.
So that was neat. Now, on the topic, we're going to shift gears here briefly.
Uh-oh.
On the topic of the Brown Clan out in Minnesota, Buffalo, Minnesota area, we're going to be seeing them in person again after we saw them earlier this year at Winter Slam. Terrifying encounter, might add. We're going to see them again when we go out to Albert Lea at Crossroads of Destruction, where we're going to be May 1st and 2nd. We're going to go live from Inspection Line Friday night. And then after that, there's going to be an Eve of Destruction tournament. It's a bracket similar to the NCAA tournament, where there's going to be, you know, groups of four seeded out, and then the winners advance, and then those winners play each other, and it crowns four champions from each north, south, east, and west, essentially, and those four play each other, and it's an overall winner. And those guys have been harassing me about how they're going to junk me this, and they're going to destroy me that, and everything. So they're really looking forward to it. They kind of wanted to get the word out so that everybody knew what was going on. I guess the planned start time is 8 o'clock local for out in Albert Lea. They've got a projector that will send the image onto a 110-inch screen or something. They've got That's the splitters awesome. and the games and everything. So it's going to be kind of neat. Yeah. This whole thing started.
They spend a lot of time in front of the TV. That's from going from one extreme to the other right there with two different people.
That's funny.
But, real good dudes. They've been a lot of fun to talk to, and they've exposed us to things that we have never, ever, ever begun to consider. And by the way, if you do find a VHS tape that you don't know what to do with, send it to them. They'll be glad to.
I'm glad I missed that conversation.
To pre-screen that and make sure that that's something that's good. But I think I'm going to be teaming with Jared in the team bracket, and we're going to try and run over Darren. And Darren keeps saying that he's going to put me on my lid and everything like that. And we had to.
Now they do know you're into technical stuff and gaming and stuff like that, right?
I mean, I know. It's like, you kids, I was gaming before gaming was cool.
One other thing we talked about before the show, do you want to wait until later in the show to talk about that?
Go ahead.
The big announcement coming out of the Sciopa Racing Stables
is coming up right after the
Troy Tagg, the California King, will be participating in this year's Keystone Nationals.
Exciting.
In a car that's coming out of Sciopa Racing.
More exciting.
So
we just want to know if it's a Cadillac or not.
Yeah, that's the next question. We're all excited. We're going to get to hang out. And Troy said he's trying to get the wife to come out with him, which he said she wanted to come. So if things work out, we'll get to meet Mrs. Tagg.
Troy's going to do the important stuff and ship the carcass out here to be finished.
But, yeah, so we that's the only thing we haven't asked them is if they're building a caddy or building a wagon. But
it's pretty exciting.
Very, very cool. That show just keeps growing by leaps and bounds.
Man, yes. His son's driving cross country to go home.
Yep, and his son, I assume, got out of the Army and is headed back to California. He's stayed with some derby guys across the country.
Yep.
Which, that has to be cool.
Yeah, I stayed with Cruz, and he spent some time with Skinny, and he was heading on from there, so definitely a cool way to cross the country.
Yep, and I'm looking forward to seeing Troy run out here. That's going to be,
it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, very cool.
And how great does Bo Lockwood have to feel?
Oh.
You know what I mean? That's pretty cool that those guys are going to kind of lock horns a little bit and bring that.
Considering one of the biggest shows on the East Coast is pretty much bringing an extreme West Coast
yeah.
to East That's what Coast.
I said. That's what I said. I said, you've wrecked. I said you'll be a winner from coast to coast. I said, no, more likely I'll get run over. I said, Troy, it's been a long time since you've been run over, buddy. He didn't really have much rebuttal after that one, but it's going to be awesome.
Troy.
Going to be awesome.
So how about we do this on the topic of
Keystone Nationals.
Keystone Nationals and Reckless Warriors. Why don't you guys take a quick look at this, and we'll be right back. Are you good enough to be recognized as a Reckless Warrior? Bo Lockwood Motorsports' 2015 Demolition Derby schedule will now be combined into the Reckless Warrior Tour, designed to give rewards and recognition to drivers that support Bo Lockwood Motorsports. The schedule starts at the 5,000 to win Superstock Championships May 9th at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Brookville, Pennsylvania. The tour then goes to the Keystone Nationals, which has moved to the Westmoreland County Fairgrounds June 27th. The Jefferson County Fair Championships follows, with the Limited World Cars back in the limelight as they chase a $3,000 payday in Brookville, with the Reckoning 2 following on August 1st at the Clarion County Fairgrounds in Clarion, Pennsylvania. The series finishes with the final encounter September 4th and 5th at the Stoneboro County Fair. In all, there is more than $75,000 in prize money available among the six shows and features some of the largest purses in the Keystone State. Drivers will earn points based on their feature appearances and heat and feature finishes, with bonuses awarded for passing inspection and getting a stick on the first try. The season will end with a points banquet where Bo Lockwood Motorsports will crown the deadliest warrior. That driver will then have his selection of one of the 10 prizes from the Reckless Warrior partners.
For more details on the 2015 Record Warriors Tour, visit their Facebook page and check out blmotorsports.net. And you thought last year was huge. The Bash for Cash returns to the Demolition Derby Limelight Memorial Day weekend 2015. Every bit of action is returning, and there's some more added in. DerbyParts.com is back with the 80s newer class paying $11,000 to win. DerbyTees.com is back paying the Turn Back the Clock winner $10,000. And now the Compacts are cashing in, vying for at least $3,000 in their championship event. Action is planned for May 23rd and 24th, again at the Fayette County Fairgrounds in Washington Courthouse, Ohio. Early inspections are planned for Friday, May 22nd. For a full rundown of the schedule and divisions, visit www.smashitderby.com.
And we are back, so I'm going to make a quick mention of another one of our friends, DerbyParts.com. You can find out pretty much anything that you need to build a derby car bumper to bumper. You can find Smashed Empire Films, Reckless Abandoned Apparel, Derby Magazine, all available on sale on DerbyParts.com. They are a go-to source for everything between the rails and bumper to bumper. Wade's been a longtime supporter of the show, and we appreciate if you go over there and say hi to those guys. Make sure you mention that you heard about them on the Crash Course. And another group that we're pretty proud to be associated with, starting new this month, is, well, the graphic left. Hang on a second. What is this palaver? Anyway, we'll get back to Demo Derby Masters here in a minute. We got Lucas Coffey joining us here on the hotline. Lucas, man, thanks for coming on the show.
I appreciate y'all letting me on the show.
We're looking forward. There was a bunch of people that have been telling us that we got to get a hold of you, and we're finally able to put it together, and we had an open spot that we wanted to bring you on. You've had a great season, and your stock continues to rise and rise and rise. Tell us a little bit about what 2015 holds for you.
Ran on some last weekend. I got in it late, so I had kind of a quick build there, about a month build on the car. I plan on running Bash, and that ride kind of put me back on my Bash ride, so I don't know if I'm going to make that show or not. I might hit a county fair here and there and maybe try to run down Scottsville, Kentucky at the King of Bluegrass.
Tell us a little bit about your outing in Owenton. You had to D2 in the build a little bit in order to comply with the rules that were out there. Did that change your driving style at all, and tell us about how the feature played out.
I'm usually a little bit more of a harder driver than I was at Owenton. I had a lot of jokes about people would tell me I was driving like my dad. Oh, yeah. And you get big money on the line, you gotta kind of hold your driving style, change it down a little bit. And that tough brake there in the feature broke the passenger side front wheel off, and I moseyed around what I could. And the heat races, I think, almost 2 hours, and I felt good about myself for coming out of that, especially with drivers like Darrell Monroe and Nathan Brown, Leslie Chisholm. I mean, they're all top-the-line guys, and it's just something for me to come out of a heat like that.
And you said getting into that late has put you behind a little bit on your Bash for Cash car. How excited are you about going back to Bash for Cash this year?
It's something different. It's good seat time. You win it, you got a good show. It's the ride. It's a hard build. I don't know if I'll get it done or not. Just take it day by day.
You got a lot of time left. You'll get it done. We have faith in you.
You still got over a month. You're fine.
I got a lot of help in the shop. That means a lot. I got a few buddies around here. They help me, keep me motivated. That means a lot in the derby shop anymore.
You ain't kidding.
I know we ask guys this question quite frequently, but I mean this is another. I think it's a fair one that applies to this. Is how do you like that heavy build style?
I like it. It's a little bit harder car than when I run around here, which I didn't drive it that way. I drive a stock car harder than I do that one. And the Rumble back in 14, the 5-foot car.
Yes.
And it's a little bit out of my league, so I stepped back down, and it's a good ride. I like it. It's pretty lenient on the rules. I mean, you got a pretty good size front end on you. The ass end's a little bit soft, but you got what you got to work with.
Yeah.
It was Sean at Hoffmeister picked you to win that 5-foot rule car, 5-foot rule class at Sturgis in 2014. I mean, what did you learn from driving in that heavy class in 2014? You said that you wasn't quite your league. What were you able to learn from building and driving in that class that you can apply to running the style of car that you're building for Bash for Cash and subsequently some of the stock shows closer to your home area?
my Razorback car, it wasn't, I mean, it was a 5 foot, but it wasn't most of the 5 foot out there. It was more tied together than all the 4 or 5 layers of sheet metal.
Uh-huh. Right. So in terms of tying stuff
together, I held in there. I ended up breaking a 33 spline Moser there on the passenger side. They broke it right there at the flange. I ain't never broke one at all, to be honest with you. It kind of surprised me, but I mean, if you got a low driving style, you can kind of run any of them. Something like that, you got to keep a little bit faster pace. You can't be a sitting duck out there.
No.
That hard of a car.
No.
Breaking that Moser, how impressive is that?
They break.
Yeah. I was going to say, Ben got one broke. Or bent.
Well,
it broke.
I'm in 40 spline hobby stock now, so maybe I can have a little bit better luck with it.
There you go.
Yeah. That ought to hold up for a little while.
Getting hit by something like that, something's
got
to give. Yeah. Getting hit by a car like that.
Lucas, are you more of a fan of the new style, or do you ever run any old style stuff, or you just like the newer Vixen stuff?
I've never ran old style. Ran my first show back in 09. It was a youth class from 14 to 18, and I was 12 at the time. ran that, and I slipped in and won it. I've never been at home. My dad ran. He's ran for 37 years, and he ain't much of a new style guy. He's more of old style.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta. Do you pay much attention to the conversation that revolves around you? I mean, you really exploded onto the scene, coming up through with that win there in 2014, and you've sort of been one of the guys that's picked to win every time you come onto the track, and you're only 18 years old. Do you pay any attention to that, or do you just kind of not give that much credence and focus on your cars? What's that do to you mentally?
That's just something, I don't know. You still gotta know what you're doing. You can't let that get to your head, let your head get too big, because somebody pop your head for you and make it go back down to normal size.
Yeah, you got that right.
Good answer. Good answer. Good answer. That's a kid that was raised right there. Yeah, that was a very good answer.
I like
it. But on my age, they told you wrong. On my age, I'm 21.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm also
Come on,
not.
Chris.
That's fine.
Hey, I'm real good at English.
Jesus.
Still, that's a good answer though. Good answer.
It was that. What's next for you? I mean, with everybody sort of picking you, do you feel like going to some of these big shows that you've got a real chance, or is it again kind of? I mean, you answered the question sort of in your last response, saying you just got to stay down to earth.
I mean, I've got the equipment to do it. I mean, Jeremy Gard, he's my engine builder, and I've got the good transmission. I mean, it's just when is it your time? I mean, you got to be lucky. You got to have luck on your side. You can't just be good.
No, that's for sure.
It's coming.
But at the same time,
this year, it might be 5 years from later, but it's got to come sooner or later.
But at the same time, you were just talking about all the stuff that you've bought to make the car better, and we frequently said that there's no dollar figure that you can put on driving experience and driving talent. Having only been around the sport essentially since 2009, even though you've grown up watching your dad for so long, do you feel like that you were a little bit ahead of the curve when you finally got the chance to sit into a full-size car in the adult divisions?
I mean, watching it, you learn a lot. But when you get down in the car your first time, you forget it all. It's just a totally new experience to you. You just don't really remember it. And then year after year, you grow a little bit more, and you rewatch yourself in video, learn what you can do better. Because anybody can win a derby from stand. That's a proven fact there.
You ain't kidding. That's why I hate being in the stands right there, that reason.
Brian, you were laughing when he was talking about driving the first time.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it happens to all of us. I mean, you sitting, you know, Ben and I grew up, you know, watching derbies at Waterloo. And I mean, you know, I thought I was going to win the first time. I'm sure Ben probably thought he was going to win the first time. And then you get in and they say go and your foot goes. My foot went to the floor. And the first thing I ever hit in a derby car in my life was the judges stand at Waterloo. Straight up off the line, right into the judges stand. And I went, ah, damn, that car was tough. And I looked and I was sideways bouncing off that. And I'm like, whoa, that probably wasn't slick. But I can understand what he says. I mean, you know, it's you get in there between the adrenaline and the nerves and, you know, the butterflies. I mean, it's hard to get a hold of. And it takes a while to get it under control.
I drove like a ladle head for the first 5 years.
Absolutely. Had a lot of fun doing it, though,
didn't
you?
Oh, yeah. Now yeah. then I slowed down and I drove smart, and now I get back in the car, I drive like a ladlehead again. So.
It's fun though. It's great.
Well, I just don't care now. So it's just.
What about you, Ben? I mean, well, you hear a young guy like Lucas talking about the stuff that he's talking about from that perspective. You've seen drivers from all walks of life at all different levels coming in from their running their 50th Derby to running their first. Yeah. And you've been in a situation where you've run your first time. Yeah. What do you think?
Oh, I think he's 100% right. I mean, you can have a game plan all you want, but as soon as you sit in a car, it all goes shit. Basically goes out the window, yeah. You know.
I thought we were going to get one.
Goes to shit. I think that's what you're going to say. Goes to shit.
But no, he's right. I mean, it helps. Like he said, it helps being around the sport. I mean, his dad drove for a long time. And you know, you pick up little stuff here and there. But once you sit in a car, it's totally, you know, like he says, you know, everybody in the stands wins a derby every time they go.
Yep.
You know, it's just, you know. Put your ass in a seat, and you're not gonna, you know.
It's not as easy.
No, half them guys will shit themselves when they get in the car, you know what I mean. It's be like, they'd be like, you know, you're scared shitless. It's just like,
yeah, I agree. And that's, you know, that's
what
the thing.
I see it all the time in our shows. You know, kids coming in or younger guys coming in, and you know they're all revved up, and you know they're gonna, you know.
Do this and do that.
They're going to take on the world, but then afterwards you talk to them, like, man, we got our ass kicked. I'm like, well, I'll just go back to the drawing board and try something different, you know?
That happened a lot, too.
And but no, he's an exceptional driver. I mean, I've watched him for several years, and he definitely has a natural talent to drive into bigger shows. I mean, he proved that. I mean, it's just.
Do you and your dad talk a lot about, about the Derby and about driving and stuff like that? Or does he just kind of let you go and learn on your own, make your own mistakes?
I mean, back 2 or 3 years ago, he was in the shop with me every night and all that. And now he's getting a little bit of age on him, working 6-7 days a week. And he's ready to go home after work.
Yep.
It's more of a let me learn myself, you know. He can't be there with me all my life. I got to go on my own sometimes. So he kind of let me have trial and error myself.
You're probably making him deaf with air hammer body creasing.
That's awesome.
Neighbors got to love that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a...
especially if you live like... Imagine if you live in a valley or something, you know. Oh. And you live in a valley and you touch off that air hammer and start doing a body.
Yeah.
You just echo for miles.
Well, it was... When I was... Up until just a few years ago, I never owned a torch for about the first 18 years of my Derby career. So I did everything with hacksaws and just, you know, pure redneck. And we had an air chisel.
Yeah,
and I'd chisel. I'd touch that sucker off at 11 o'clock at night, you know, out in the middle of the nowhere. Well, my parents aren't completely in the middle of nowhere. But finally, yeah. Dad's like, do you think the neighbors like hearing that? And I'm like, never really thought about it. But that's just part of the game, I guess.
But we
give you credit on building a Derby car with no torches, and I am out here.
I don't know if it was credit or stupidity. Maybe dad was hoping I'd just get sick of it and not do it anymore, because I didn't come from a Derby family. I came from a racing family, but it was not fun.
Lucas, do you realize what you just did?
Oh boy.
You gave Brian. You were talking about how you don't want to let your head get big. Somebody's going to have to come along and pop it. And Lucas Coffey just gave Ryan Tompkins credit on building Derby cars.
Whatever. And I hope the people that watch notice. The only person that Chris busts out of this whole show is me.
Well, I can't pick on Ben because I'm scared to death of him.
All right.
Well, I enjoy having Ben as a co-host. But his fuse is about that long, and it is not nearly enough time for me to make it to the elevator. I've seen Ben take drivers out of the front seat of their cars with it running by their ears. That is not an ire I need to raise, and Mr. Josh Decker, well, as my client, I really can't tear him down. So,
I got broad shoulders. Thank you. Right here. Put it right here. We're good. Right.
And the Browns. We can't forget the Browns. Who made a great – by the way, they do video stuff too. And they made a sweet hype video for Blizzard Bash, and they made one for Albert Lee, which they've got it on YouTube. If you go check out Darren Brown.
Yeah, they actually told me about it last night. I forgot to check.
It's a pretty good video. You got to check that thing out. But what – we talked about Kentucky a little bit and how that sort of they've got their King of the Bluegrass show and Bud Blowouts down in the same general area, but Kentucky's still a little bit north of that. We talked about it being an untapped market. that is sort of open. It's this sort of no man's land where Derby still has a lot of space to grow. But when you think about the names that Lucas was naming off and running against, we've still got a high percentage of skilled builders and drivers down in that neck of the woods. I mean, Lucas, how nice was it growing up and having the opportunity to watch those guys, and now having the opportunity likewise to be driving against some of those guys that are recognized as the top drivers, not only in your area, but they're getting a claim on a national platform, much as yourself?
It's something different. It's like you got Chuck Roby and Daryl Monroe. They used to run against my dad. Now he's laid back, and I get to run against them. And it's nice knowing me on the track with guys that's been going at that long, have so much potential and so much talent. You're right there with them, you know? I mean, it's just something you can't let go past you, but like a game, you can't let it make your head get big.
Right.
And it's definitely got to give you somewhat of satisfaction if you come out on top above them, you know, to run against it. Definitely, you know, definitely makes you feel good that you're on the right track, you know.
And that was the thing. I mean, we talked about, you know, when we were at Owenton, I mean, the pace was a little slower. But, I mean, whoever won that Derby.
Holy shit.
Whoever won that.
We could have grew mushrooms down there.
Whoever won that Derby definitely earned it. Yes. I mean, you had to, you know, you couldn't put yourself in a dumb spot and, you know, make bad mistakes. And, you know, I mean, there was a lot of good drivers and a lot of good equipment in that show. I mean, they're definitely, I mean, there's some good builders and good drivers right there. And it's, you know, it was different than what we're used to, but it was a good show overall.
And it's going to be a different pace when we go to Albert Lea second. Yeah. And I think it's going to be completely different than when we go to the Brookville show May 9th, which is coming up with the kickoff to the Reckless Warrior series. But at the same time, what we talked about, and Lucas sort of alluded to it as well, building down to that level from what they're accustomed to, they don't necessarily know what the cars are going to do, so they're not as apt to go wide open into one another
It wouldn't have been so bad, you know, but everybody we talked to leading up to that earlier in that day is like, oh yeah, we just hammered down. There's going to be some nasty shots and heavy hitting going on.
But likewise, those guys also said they were surprised by the pace too.
Yeah, yeah. I'll say this.
Right? Yeah, and that's where I would have been the ladle head, and I would have went out there and turned it up.
the Concy was awesome. Those guys are driving in the Concy.
But when you, well, like he said, when you put that amount of money on the line, everybody develops throttle stops. I don't care who you are.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we said that 100 times. I mean, when you're running for $7,000, you don't want to be the one that makes a dumb mistake and loses $7,000.
There's guys up here that run for $1,500, $2,000, and they drive like Sally's.
Absolutely.
You know, it's...
Absolutely.
And then you got the guys that in the heat, you know, they'll run their ass off in the heat and junk their shit. So, I mean, you got to have both sides of the spectrum.
Yep. Sure. You need it all for a Derby.
Lucas, we look forward to catching up with you when we'll see you again at Bash for Cash. Mm-hmm. I have full confidence you're going to get that car done.
You'll be ready for Bash for Cash.
We'll see you there. And if not...
That's another thing back to the Owenton show out there. You know, you got all them good-name drivers. Like me in the heat, I laid the A-arm over and it busted the rotor.
Mm-hmm.
I lost all brake fluid, so I was running around an hour with no brakes. And you had to be smart enough to know what the other drivers know that, because once they knew it, they was going to put you where they want you because you didn't have no way of stopping them.
Absolutely. No doubt.
Definitely. Before we let you go, Lucas, anybody that you want to give some recognition and some thanks to?
Like I said, I want to thank my dad, and I got all my buddies that helped me in the shop, and thank y'all for doing what y'all do with this. I mean, y'all got a good thing going, and all of us derby drivers appreciate that. Well, I do anyways, and I sure they do too.
Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate that.
Appreciate that. That's some kind words coming from you, man. We'll be catching up with you soon. Thanks for coming on the show.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. There goes Lucas Coffey. Drove it Owenton, and hopefully we'll see him again here in a couple weeks when we make our way out to the Bash for Cash at the end of a very busy May. First, we've got Albert Lea, why don't we take a quick peek at what's going on. Albert Lea, Minnesota, 4,000 to win, 80s chain class, 3,000 to win Imperial class. Coming up in just about
2 weeks.
Yeah, just about 2 weeks. Time is running short in their hourglass. $26,000 in prize money being paid out in one day. At that show, I talked to Paul Nielsen, and right now that figure is up over $27,000 now.
Cool.
With different bonuses and incentives and things along those lines. So good things coming from that event. And then after that, as you saw play a little bit earlier, and we talked about the Reckless Warriors Tour, we're going to be down there May 9th. Locally, if you're looking for something to do, May the 16th, there's two shows. John King's got a show at Fulton, and then Brian Sipple's got a show at Canandaigua. And then we're going to turn around and Bash for Cash is right on top of that. And then after that, Drive for Five. And then after we've got...
Can you get us some more shows to do in May?
Yeah, I'm sure. If you even got any time left? Can you even go?
I got some left.
You got some? Well, we'll...
Bash for Cash, a couple of Bo shows.
Let's do this. And then we'll talk about it. We'll be right back.
Travel back to the good old days of Demolition Derby at the 2015 Kings of Old School, presented by Goodies Graphics and GN Auto Corp. The Kings of Old School will be held June 6th at the Broome County Fairgrounds in Whitney Point, New York. The Old School class is drawing drivers from across the United States, with new drivers signing up and past champions coming out of retirement to take part in the show with rules written the way the Northeast Derby community wants them to be. The headline Old School class will pay $22.50 to win and will be run in a Heat 10 feature format. The 80s newer kit class filled in less than 6 hours once registration opened. The winners in the division will enjoy a share of a $3,000 purse. The card also includes compact and junk run division. Inspection opens at 8 a.m. Derby action begins at 2. Call Brett Relier at 607-327-2705 or Josh Decker at 607-725-2194 for details. With rule questions, call Mark Benjamin at 607-215-2149. That's the Kings of Old School, June 6th, Broome County Fairgrounds, Whitney Point, New York.
Still there?
Yeah, we're still here, definitely.
All right, hang on.
Thanks.
I'm going up the shop.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about Demo Derby Masters. Demo Derby Masters, presented by Kaiser. They have tons of stuff for what you need in terms of building demolition derby parts, tied up with Integra Shocks, tied up with a bunch of Circle Track manufacturers. They've got their headquarters in Michigan. They manufacture and produce a number of their own branded fluids, all the hardware, washers, nuts, bolts of all sorts of grades and sizes. And on top of that, they've got a number of different products, from bell housings and protectors and things like that, that have all been derby tested, designed by derby drivers. And one of the cool things about Demo Derby Masters is that those guys have the ability to take your garage technology. We're still here, Melanie. You're also live on the show, just so you know.
Hi.
Hi, Melanie. Melanie, we gave him a black screen. Here we go. Melanie is going to be singing the national anthem at the
every derby in America this year.
Because she did such an awesome job in Owenton. Are you still there, Melanie?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Are you excited about singing the national anthem?
I am. Yeah. I am really excited.
Where's Peter?
He's in a shop building.
Actually, we heard that.
Yeah, we can hear the echo of the shop.
He's right here. Hang on, guys.
All right.
He's building his Keystone Nationals car.
Hey, there's Peter.
Peter Hansen, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, well, you know.
Building.
Doing a little gully therapy right now in the garage here.
Huh. Now, what car's that?
King's Old School.
King's Old School kicker car.
Now, what do you... Oh, well, that answers that.
This has probably been tilted in four different spots right now.
Pete, is that car going to be as tough as a Hanson Riviera or no?
We're pushing to make it harder.
Nice.
you're gonna run your cradle in it then, huh?
I got about 90 pounds of wire in it right now.
Oh, that's good.
There's some good news.
That's good.
Absolutely.
More good news coming out of the Pete Hanson camp, and especially for Jason Brodzinski and Ryan Songolewski. Peter said, as long as Daryl Monroe comes with us, I am in to run Lizard Bash 2015 again. So other than the birthday, what changed between Monday when you were undecided and where we are right now?
Well, I had, you know, geez, I had Daryl driving me nuts in Owenton. I had Ryan, Jason. I mean, they were just, I mean, it was just.
Crash course was,
you know, and you know, Ryan come to me and he says, you know, it's not going to be the same without you. We really do need you. And, you know, it kind of made me feel wanted. And I was like, you know what? I can't let the guys down. I got to do it, you know. And my wife was driving me nuts, which I thought she was on the other side of the fence, but evidently she's not.
So when are you going to start building your Keystone car, since they've been driving you nuts?
No. They didn't bother me much. Bo bothered me a little bit, and then he kind of left me alone. He probably should have kept after me, and it probably would have worked, but...
Oh, there we go.
So
you probably shouldn't have said that.
So if you want Pete Hansen to drive your show, you gotta get somebody to
gotta pasture him.
Gotta just wear him down.
Nah, it's one car. I'm gonna start on it, and like I told everybody in the beginning, I need to do a lot of family time, and you know, so as soon as Gully gets out of here, I'm gonna start on that car, and you know, it'll be an all summer and through the fall build in between hunting, fishing, and whenever I get a chance, I'll work on it. You know, I'm not going to take time away from my family.
Now, Pete, are you going to let it out, let the cat out of the bag, or are you going to keep it a secret what you're going to build?
Actually, I'm on the fence right now. I'm not 100% sure. I've been looking for, I got three cars in mind, and
yep.
I'll call you next Monday.
Pete, how can you not build a Rivi? I mean, how can that even be a choice as to not build an Arrivi?
Well, you got to remember, Brian, there's been some rule changes there that Pete might be salivating over.
It actually benefits the old iron even more.
Right.
With the hump plates and stuff, yeah. I mean, I know for a fact I can go there, like, you know, and just drive through the Fords with the front of a Riv, and now that they give us hump plates, I just think the back end of an old iron's going to be, I mean, not as good as a 98 though, too, or any of the Vicks. The frames are just, the problem with the frame on an old iron, they are rigid and they're hard metal, you uh-huh. know, and you start flipping and trying to roll them and pack them in like a tuna can, like a Vic, they just crack, break, and things just fall apart.
That's when you start playing around with heating.
It's just, they're just not, I don't know, everybody's in that, everybody tries to build everything like a Vic, and I mean, I'm guilty for it, you uh-huh. know. But
do they make a kiln big enough to put a whole old iron?
They're heat treating facilities you can take and have. There's a whole furnace. He's probably got 5 gallon buckets getting shipped to his house right now.
Yeah, there's really no reason for that. No. I mean, the old iron, I built one Crown Vic in my whole life, and you know I liked it. Don't get me wrong, I thought it was better than a Cadillac.
Yeah.
And then, for some dumb reason, I said, I got to try one of them Rivies. I bought them from Frank Palmer, and I had them here, and I built one, and I fell in love, because they're just...
They're nasty.
Built them right up front. I mean, they're... God. You know, they'll drive through anything.
Yeah. With your component... I mean, especially with the components. I mean, when you can run a full cradle, run all your goodies, yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, it's just... You're not going to stop them.
Now, Pete, are you going to run one of the newer... Ski Ink 1-inch cradles, or are you going to run the same one you ran last year? Or is there something, is there a 2-inch in the...
There's probably a prototype.
Or is there another prototype we're working on that we can't talk about yet for this year?
Buzzard Bash always shows, like, new debuts and new products.
Prototype. Why do you think he was just up there building his own parts? Yeah, I know.
Now, is there going to be a fourth Redline motor pulled into the shop for this? Or are you going to use one of the three Redlines you already got?
No. My team car shipping from Buzzard Bash. That's my team car motor now. That's why we specifically built it just for that. You know, for running team shows.
Yes, so that way you can just hold it on the floor and you're not going to hurt the motor. That was your general rule when you got that motor built, right?
Exactly. You know, we put 20,000 in that, just in the basically valve covers to the oil pan with no carburetor on it. You know, and it is what it is.
Yeah,
absolutely. Of course, the tax man thinks that that's now in one of Pete's dump trucks at the yard. But hey,
what are you doing?
Whatever it takes, man. That's all good.
Yeah.
Anything's possible.
Yeah.
Oh man, Pete. You know, honestly, after we were on you last week, and you know, I picked on you a little bit on the on Facebook when you put the picture up of Gully's car with a plate on it. I said, I'm gonna start a new wave or a new trend. I'm not gonna say another word to Pete about running because you know, as a fan, Pete, you put on a great show, and I like I like the show you put on out there. But I also could imagine the ass ache you were getting from people bugging you. And I said, well, when Pete makes his mind up, that'll be great. But I didn't realize it was like it'd be 3 days later. So, you know, thanks for not making me wait too long so I can get back to busting your balls.
My biggest problem is anymore, you know, it's like the social media and just people, everybody putting you on this pedestal, you know, and I don't like to be there. And I don't care what anybody says, you know. I've talked to, you know, Josh Decker's one, you know, he wants to be there. And I tried to explain to him, it's really not, it's like being the president of the United States, you know, how popular is he really?
Yeah. That's because he sucks.
you know, it's just, you're really popular, but you know what, you got to uphold so much, and you know, so many, everybody's got so much expected out of you, and you just can't back down a little bit and just go a little easier. It's a full-time job, it's just...
I don't know. I think out there, Pete, and when you're on the track, I mean, you're a natural competitor. I mean, you definitely want to be the best that you can be. And
well, my whole life's been that way. You know, I mean, I raced motocross as a kid, and then I got into snowmobiles and snowcross, and you know, and then when I got into the derby world, from the day I started building from chain and bang it, you know, I always wanted to be the best. I was always looking at that guy that was winning.
Right.
I'm going to beat him. You know, that's what was in my head. I mean, I traveled, you know, to like Charlottesville, Pennsylvania, when I found out that, you know, Klinger was down there, you know, kicking everybody's butt. So I go down there, you know, one-man band, you know, and go down there and clean their clocks. And, you know, it's just, it's always been a drive that I've had. And it don't matter what I do. You know, poor Christopher Poley, I mean, that man, I thought he was going to have a, you know, a physical and mental breakdown when I went down there to look at the car he put together for me. Because
it was bad. Yeah.
You know? I'm wanting to go to the store and spend, you know, $3,000-$4,000 on parts, and he's like, "No, we can't do that."
Well, I'm just I'll put it out there on the record, because I was talking to the guys beforehand, before the show, and pretty much I have your team winning Blizzard Bash this year.
There you go, Pete. How's that? Making it in April.
That's great. And, you know, and everybody can pick us and talk about us. And that's great.
But first,
we got to get through inspection.
Well, I think the inspection thing is they should have that straightened out, I would hope. But
I think Jeremy Baker, you know, I talked to Jeremy at Owington. I'm kind of glad he kind of pushed me to run. He didn't himself, but just the way he was talking to me, and he seems to be a pretty straightforward guy and made me feel a little comfortable.
Yeah, well, a lot of times, you know, well, I'm not even going to say it because I'm going the wrong way with that.
Sometimes you got to be quiet, Ben.
I got a couple of questions for him.
Sometimes people make you comfortable before they get ready to put one to you. So.
Before they rape you.
There you go.
Yikes. What are you doing?
I've been there. You know, I've been there in all kinds of businesses and, you know,
exactly.
You know, Jeremy seems like he's got his head on his shoulders, and I like the idea of answering to one guy and one guy only. And
there you go. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's key.
I think it'll work out.
Absolutely.
I'm going to ask a lot of questions before I do, not just gray it and go. And you know, but there'll be some questionable things on our cars. I'll guarantee you that. There's no doubt about it. Just because no matter what rule book's ever been written,
put the
proper minds to it, you can chew it up.
The other addition to your team is Daryl Monroe joining your quartet, and you're adamant.
I'm not 100% sure. Oh, okay. It was kind of a
my misunderstanding. I thought Daryl
was going to be Don. Last I knew, if I wasn't running, it could have been Colin Crane, it could have been Don Centel, or Daryl Monroe. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I like all three of them guys, but you know, Daryl's just been one of them guys, you know, that if I'm on the track with him, he's solid to his word. He's true to his word, and I've never really got the chance to run with Colin or Butchie. So, you know, it's one of them things that I really like Daryl, and I kind of told the guys, if we got a pick, I mean, I would take Daryl, you know. And so I think that's where we're headed. I'm almost 100, but who knows? You know, things change so much that
that is a fact.
It's crazy.
I got one last question for you before we let you go, Pete.
Sure.
Brian alluded to the motor and wondering if you were going to bring another one in. We know that you had some transmission struggles. At least it was made to appear that you were having some transmission struggles when you brought the car out.
Oh, yeah, the tranny's still in the car. If anybody don't believe me, they can check it out.
Well, I mean, you got a situation where that stuff is remedied. In terms of last year, was there actually problems with the transmission, or was that just putting some bait in the water to think that maybe you were a lame duck?
I don't put bait in the water. if it's because I'll tell you right now, I'd ran probably three times harder in that B main or that A main, you know, with reverse. I mean, I'd have been able to drive the car a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's sitting here right now. It had no reverse, and then it came back, and it must have welded something, because after it cooled back down, because I was going to take the car out in the Pro Mods with Jason, And
oh, good.
We got in it and tried it, and first gear is just like park. Mm. You put it in first gear, it just locks right up, and I mean, it just bogs the motor right down. I had second and drive, but I just didn't.
Do you think
I should go out there and?
Do you think maybe at the end of the heat, when you broke the tire off and you were turning the motor $9,000, trying to move it back and forth from or second to reverse, that might have not done anything good for the transmission at that point, Pete?
Well, it was already on its, you know, when we went to go out for the A main, it was just terrible. I was like, oh shit, no reverse. And everybody's diving around, checking tranny fluid, dumping more in it. It wasn't low, so, you know, it was just, not 100% sure. The tranny guy had building me trannies. He built my first one. It was bulletproof. I ended up breaking the case at Spring X. After that, he just can't seem to get his head out of his ass, as far as I'm concerned, and he can't build shit. I mean, it's just one of them deals. He got shit lucky with my first one, and all the rest of them, I mean, Josh DeBevick's down at Keystone Nationals, that same deal. You know, I tore two of them up right here in my driveway, you know, and we got a new guy we're going to go to, and seems to be a pretty good guy, and he's got some trannies out there that haven't seemed to break yet, so I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, Brian, you can't break it worse. Just turn it 9,000. What's the big deal? What are you thinking?
Well, this guy Dave, he understands that, you know, I'm pushing 700 horse, you know, close. We're almost there to 700, and he said it's not a big deal. He seems not concerned at all, and you know,
that's
actually
insane.
The same Brian Narat,
yeah,
is selling them transmissions now. So
makes transmissions for Top Fuel cars.
They seem to be holding up.
That's awesome.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So if anybody needs one, they can go to Brian and get a transmission.
It'll be a good selling point for them if they hold up in your cars this year.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
You know, and this guy is not. It's kind of funny. It's not his full time job. It kind of reminds me a lot of Ricky Englehart. You know, just do it on the side. And,
yeah.
But he's been doing it since 1979.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Wow.
He knows his shit.
Wow. Chris wasn't born yet at that time.
Nope. Definitely not.
Wow.
Definitely was not.
That's crazy.
I was years off still.
I was seven.
I was five. Pete's the young one. You know, I've spoke before how some of the guys in the area, I thought they were older. And I've heard about Pete Hansen forever. You know, it seems like, and Pete's younger than I am. And I'm like, how the hell did I, you know, he must have started running derbies when he was six or something, because I've heard about Pete, you know, from when Brett and the guys would go to PA, and different times they've bumped into Pete.
Yeah,
I mean, I started derbying at 16. First night out, really didn't listen to my dad on the car build. Battery box slid over, pinched the gas line. He kind of gave me a bunch of shit on that. The next car, which was the week later, same fare, and we went out there, and it come down to me and my dad, and we just tore it up, and he beat me again. And it took, I don't know, maybe another, I think the second year, maybe the second night, I whooped his ass finally. But and then from there, it was history. It was, if it wasn't him, it was me, and we just capitalized every derby we went to and just won pretty much every one of them.
Now, Pete, we've touched on it before, and there is one person in the family you have a hard time beating on the track.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, the problem with her is I won't hit her.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy.
Because we'll have a problem hitting me.
Yeah, nope. She made that pretty obvious out at Whitney Point this year. The last time I was on the track with Pete, I junked him, and we were all laughing about that.
This was before cages now and all this other fancy shit we run, and, you know, I left my A-pillar open to her, and there was two more. I think there's four of us left in the feature. Of course, I, you know, got her down to that far, and she was hitting. Don't get me wrong. She was running hard, and she seen the A-pillar, and her front bumper on the 76 Impala at the time was 3 foot off the ground, and she come down through there, and bye-bye distributor cap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. That of course is Melanie, Pete's wife. So she was entertaining us telling us that story in the stands. But
yeah, she got to run the Rivy this year. I mean, it was the first time in what 15-16 years she got back in the car. And well, we went to a local fair, and you know, everybody was scared to death after the first night. I put a pretty good whooping on them, and I said, "Hon, just get in the car. It'll give them a little peace of mind." And shit, she went out there and drove him up over the goddamn barriers too. You know, like,
that's awesome.
I guess it's, you know, I always say, you know, you get a monkey could win with my car if they got in it. But
We were hoping maybe that would happen. Rumor has it Chris Marquardt was offered a ride in that car, and it never.
He's a chicken shit.
That's right. Totally right.
I'm here to tell you. You know why Pete didn't offer that ride to me or Ben or Josh Decker? Because we would have taken it in a heartbeat.
I'd still take it with a bad bag.
Yeah, absolutely.
You try to give something to somebody that's trying to do something good, and
I agree, Pete. You had a heart of gold for doing that, and I talked to Chris from.
I wanted to in the worst way. I mean, I knew he wasn't no way he was going to get hurt.
Oh no, not that thing. And that's I talked to him from Waterloo to Morris. He's going. He said, you know, Pete offered me his car, and I spent the next, I don't know, 8 hours or how long it takes us to get from here to Morris trying to talk him into it.
8 hours.
I couldn't do it. And so, but hey, it was great of you to offer something like that for Chris.
I thought it was very
ride.
Generous. It was very kind. It's not that I don't appreciate it. I just don't think that's at all a good idea.
Hey, you could have put that, you know, you could have put that trophy right behind you on your show, and, you know, yeah. You could have at least, you know, said, hey, when you look out on the track, you could have said, I know what that's like.
It would have been a ton of fun, but I don't think it would have been a good idea. I really don't think it would have been. I think the outcome you guys are envisioning is far different.
But I know I'd get in trouble. Yeah,
Well, as always, it was good talking to you, Pete. 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock where we are.
I'm sure you got to get back to working on Jeremy's car.
Yeah, that's what we got to do. I'm in here welding away. That's my job. Well, not all of it. He did some, but I didn't like his welding skills.
Oh, yeah, I told Pete the other night he was a perfectionist. He said, it won't take me that long. I said, yeah, Pete, you're a perfectionist. It takes you forever to build a car.
Well, it's because you got a picture.
I have no idea. Right now, I mean, Jeremy's wife, I think she's ready to flip shit. And, you know, and Jeremy's like just shaking and scratching his head every day, and it's like, this is stupid. I could have built and rent 10 cars already, he says. Yeah, but this one will be around for 10 years.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Wonderful. But
just hope Brett keeps having shows.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, this we'll do a little nip and we'll bring it to Morris, you know.
No, because I already seen where you got it pitched in front frame rails, so.
Well, that's all right, isn't it? It's gonna be pre-run. Don't pre-runs allowed to fix the bends?
No. Oh boy. All right. And
this is why Pete didn't come to Morris, because I put that thing on there when it comes to tilting. Call for clarification, and he took the paper and just threw it. So that's bullshit.
Everybody was laughing when I said let's end the show, but now Ben's in the now Ben's thinking
when you look at a set of rules, that's a contract.
Yep.
Right.
Oh, so you know, why should you have to call and ask when it's black and white?
Because it's not black and white to you, Pete.
Sure it is.
No, it's not.
I think it's 50 no. Shades of Gray.
Yeah. There you go.
Absolutely.
It ain't my fault that some promoters use gray ink.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Lake to Lake Girl's coming up, and soon as I hope.
You can't hurt nobody anyway.
Lake to Lake Girl's coming up. Hopefully very, very soon, and this all ends. And then the golf podcast on after that. So we got to make room for the golf podcast, Pete. It's been fun.
All righty, guys. You have a good one.
You too, Pete.
Thanks a lot, man. See you later. Yeah. There goes the incomparable Pete Hansen.
That's great.
Good show tonight. But we do have to get out of here because they've got a litany of programming coming up tonight.
Litany. Good word, Chris.
It is. I can do that. Can't do math, but I can pull off.
You are English. Do you guys still take SATs? You probably like a 900 on your English SAT.
I was not very good on SAT scoring.
You weren't a fan of but test and pressure shouldn't bother you because
pressure doesn't bother
me. You're good on pressure, man.
Pressure doesn't bother me that much. And well, I mean, I had a conversation with you in the vehicle one time about how if I'm putting pressure on myself, I'm a basket case. But when somebody outside the world is putting pressure on me, buckle up. Because it's going to get serious. And you are a basket case a lot. It does happen. It does happen. Listen to Ben giggling over there.
I will say, though, that the best thing I've seen on the trips that I've been on or we've been on together was Chris, after we jumped in the truck at 5 o'clock in the morning coming from Owenton.
I felt so bad.
Chris, for the first time, and I'm going to say probably 6 months, fell asleep. And there's some pictures out there that could or could not make it to the internet.
I hate it when people do that, too. But, that's one of the reasons why I can't sleep in a vehicle, because I know that some jerk is going to take a picture and post it on the internet after they...
But Chris slept very well for quite a ways on the way home, so... It was good.
I'm glad people got sleep.
I didn't get much. My head bounced a couple times, and then I got in the driver's seat. But
I got about 2.5 hours the whole weekend.
Yeah, I didn't get much more. Tough. But
Anyway, I do feel bad about sleeping in the car. I try to stay.
Chris, you don't, because you're not going to drive anyways.
I'm not. That's been made pretty clear by most road authorities.
Anyway. I'm surprised your wife lets you drive with the kids in the car.
She doesn't. That's going to do it for this edition of episode number 80 in the Bucks. It was a fun one. We're going to see you again right back here next week. Preview of Albert Lee, Crossroads of Destruction. We'll see you next Monday.
The Transport Podcast is brought to you in part by 30parts.com, the 2015 Bash for Cash and Smash at Demolition Derby, Fort Lockwood Motorsports, and the 2015 Keystone National. Sciopa Racing and SciopaRacing.com. And Derby Inc. Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Inc.